Perek Tes Mishnah Ches until Perek Tes Mishnah Yud Aleph. These last two parakim of our Kama are discussing the halachas of a gazlan, who, unlike a ganav who steals in secret, we discussed those halachas in Perek Zion. These last two parakim discuss a gazlan, who is someone who steals by force. And we learned in the last couple of Mishnayos that if someone claims that someone else stole from them, but that person denies it, and he even swears that he didn't steal, if he later admits that he did indeed steal, then he needs to pay back the thing, obviously. He needs to give him back the thing which he stole. But as well as that, he has to pay back a fifth of that value, which we explained actually means a quarter. It's just that the final amount, it becomes a fifth of the final amount. It's known in the Mishnah as a fifth. And also he needs to bring a korban osham. That only applies if he admits that he did it. If someone else, for example, if witnesses come and say that he stole it, then he would not have to pay back the chumesh, which is the extra fifth, and he would not need to bring a korban. So says the Mishnah. We're talking about a case where we'll call him Reuven. Reuven gives something to Shimon to watch over for him. A deposit, and he doesn't pay him. Shimon is considered a shomer chinom. We're going to learn later on in the Seder about different types of people who watch over things, etc., and their different statuses. But be that as it may, this person is a shomer chinom, which means he's got the responsibility to watch over something, but he is not being paid for it. Now the halacha is that if someone's watching over something and he's not being paid, then if it gets stolen, he is not obligated to pay back the owner. So let's say Reuven, in this example, gives something to Shimon to watch over. Hechon pikdoini, and Reuven comes to Shimon and says, "Where's my deposit? Can I have it back now?" Or my leish, Shimon says, "Hey, Nignav, it got stolen." Like we said, if it got stolen, Shimon will not need to pay for the item. Mashpiochani, Reuven says to Shimon, "I make you swear." And Shimon said, "Yet, I agree, I'm making that shavua." And even though he didn't explicitly say, "I swear," just by saying Omein to Reuven mentioning the shavua, that's enough, and it's considered as if he has made a shavua himself. But then, witnesses come and they testify that actually he stole it. No one stole it from Shimon. Shimon stole it himself and he used it. Says Mishnah Meshalim Tashlum Chefel. Shimon has to pay back the double payment which a normal thief has to pay. This is an interesting halacha, because had Shimon just denied the fact that it was stolen, for example, had he just said it was lost, then we already said in the previous Mishnah that he would only have to pay back the actual item, but not double. However, here, since he claimed that it was stolen, we learn from Sukkim that he gets the same halacha, the same punishment that a normal ganav would get, which is, of course, to pay back double the actual amount. Now, this concept is known as Toyin Tainas Ganav. Again, Toyin Tainas Ganav, which is when someone claims that someone else stole it, when really he was the thief himself. But of course, Hodami Atzmei, if he admitted himself that he stole it, then Mishalim Keren V'chimesh V'osham, he has to pay back the actual amount plus a fifth, and the Korban Osham, which is usually the halacha for someone who swears that he didn't steal something, and then admits that he actually did. Now, why doesn't he also have to pay back double? Because we have a rule which we've come across already, which is Moida B'Knas Potter. If someone admits to owing a fine, then he's exempt. Again, this is learned from Sukkim, says that it has to be the judges find him guilty, and therefore he pays the fine, and we learn from there that whenever it comes to fines, you can only be chayav to pay that if witnesses come and say that you're chayav to pay it. But if you confess to owing it, then you do not need to pay the fine. Mishnah Tes, we now come to a very interesting leniency of the Chachomim when it comes to someone who swears that he didn't steal something. Says the Mishnah, Gozel is of someone who steals from his father, Vinishbaloi, and he falsely swears that he didn't steal it from him. Vameis, and then his father dies. Now once his father's died, he admits that he actually did steal it. So usually the halacha is that you need to give Keren V'chomesh, the actual amount plus a fifth, and bring a korban. And if the person you stole from is now dead, then you give it to his inheritors. But in this case, who inherits the father? Himself. And if he has brothers, then he at least gets part of the inheritance. So really, we should view it as if he'd given back the money to the father, and now the father's property is split between the children. So let's say he had one other brother. The child who stole had one other brother. So that means that the inheritance is split in half. So you might think that maybe he should only have to pay for half the amount. But the Mishnah tells us, Haizim Shalom Kerem V'chemesh, he has to pay the full amount and the full fifth. The reason for this is because the Torah says, V'hei Shivis HaGzela, he has to return the stolen item. Meaning, in order to get an atonement for what he did by stealing it, the way to do that is by returning the stolen item. Giving back half the item, even if technically you're entitled to part of it, you're not going to get your atonement, and therefore he's chayav to pay back the full amount. Now, who does he pay it to? Levonov, he pays back to the children of his father, i.e. his siblings, and if there are no other children, if he's the only child, then he gives it to the next one in line for his inheritance, which is Ele'echov, to the father's brothers. That's halacha. Now we come to the very interesting leniency. The Imena wrote, so what happens if this person doesn't want to lose his share of the inheritance, or he doesn't have enough money that he feels he can just get rid of this and not get that part of the inheritance. So interesting, the Mishnah provides a sort of loophole to get around it. How? Loiver, he should borrow money from someone else in order to pay back this money. So let's say he stole 100 zuz from the father, he should borrow 100 zuz and use that money to pay back his siblings or his uncle, whoever needs to get the money, and then the person who is owed the money, meaning the person who he borrowed money from, can come and collect the money from that inheritance. Instead of collecting the money from the person who borrowed it from him, the Gazlan, he goes and collects that money from the other brothers who have inherited the money. And in this way, the Gazlan doesn't lose out of his inheritance. And the reason why this works is because at the end of the day, the Gazlan paid back the money. And he's not taking back the money, someone else is taking back the money. And therefore, the Chacham provided this leniency in order to get around it. Mishnah Yud, similarly, someone who says to his son, make a neder, a vow, that you cannot have any benefit from me. A neder is when someone makes a vow that he can't benefit from someone else, or someone else can't benefit from him. So this father said to his child, I make a neder that you can't benefit from anything which belongs to me. Immeis, if the father dies, then you are shenu. The son does inherit from the father. Why? Because it no longer belongs to the father. Once the father's dead, he doesn't own anything. And therefore, getting his inheritance is not benefiting from the father. However, if the father explicitly says that I make a neder that you can't benefit from me, whether in my lifetime or even after my lifetime, then it may slay your Hashanah. If the father dies, then he does not inherit from him. The truth is, he does inherit from him, he just can't benefit from that inheritance. And therefore, he should return that inheritance to the father's children, to the sons, or the father's brothers, the next in line for the inheritance, because he can't benefit from it. However, like we had in the previous mission, we're going to have a loophole here. Then Einlai, if he doesn't have enough money to live properly, and therefore he sort of needs this money, then what he can do is Leiver, he can borrow money from someone else and use that money to support himself. And then when the Baal Chayv, the person who is owed the money, comes to collect the money, they can come and collect the money from the inheritance, meaning from this person's share in the inheritance. Since it was his share, the lender is allowed to go to whoever that share went to and collect the money from there, again as a loophole. Mishnah Yud Aleph. After discussing someone stealing from his father, Mishnah now discusses Hagizel Sager, someone who steals from a convert. The halacha is that when someone becomes a Jew, it's as if he's reborn, and therefore he has no relatives. If he gets married, has children, then he has relatives, but other than that, he has no inheritors. And therefore, if you steal from a convert for Nishbalay and you falsely swear that you didn't steal from him for Mace, and then the convert died, and then you admitted that you actually did steal from him, and therefore you have to pay back the money. Usually you pay back to the inheritors, but here there are no inheritors. So what do you do? Says Mishnah, Haizim Shalom Keren V'Chomesh LaKranim. You give the payment of the Keren V'Chomesh, the actual amount, plus the fifth, LaKranim to the Kranim, the Osham L'Mizbeach, and of course you bring the Korban Osham on Mizbeach, that doesn't have to have inheritors, and therefore obviously you bring that to the Beis HaMikdash. Now how do we know that you bring it to the Kranim? It's an explicit Pasuk in the Torah, Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'Mein Lo Ish Goyel, if someone does not have a redeemer, meaning a relative, L'Hosham, of Hashem he loved, to return the guilt to him, meaning to return the money to him. So that is, says the Pasuk, the guilt, the money which was stolen, which needs to be returned, that goes to Hashem. And how do you give money to Hashem? So we look at it as if Hashem sort of gives it to the Kohanim, and therefore the money goes to the Kohen. And the Pasuk continues, Melevad ila Kippurim, apart from the Ram of Atonement, through which he will get an atonement, and of course this refers to the Korban Osham, which the Gazlan needs to bring. So he pays the money to the Kohanim, and he also brings a Korban Osham to the Beis HaMikdosh. Now really the halacha is that when a ger dies, because he has no inheritors, his property becomes Hefka, ownerless, and whoever comes and takes them first becomes the owner of that item or money. So in this case, who became the owner of that money? It became the Gazlan. The only reason why now has to pay the Kohanim is in order to get an atonement, because the only way you can get an atonement for doing this is by returning the item which you stole, plus the fifth, which means that Hoyomal, if this Gazlan was bringing up the money and the korban to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, in order to give it to the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, the Meis and the Gazlan died. Once the Gazlan died, then there's no point giving the money, because there's no more atonement which is needed, because he's now dead. And therefore, we look at it as if he actually owned the money, which he did. So therefore, Kesev Nasan Levonov, the money goes to the Gazlan's children as an inheritance. However, the animal which he was bringing up, he had designated that as a korban. Once you designate something to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban, you can't just take that back, and therefore, the Osham Yirachis Toiv, the animal which was designated to be brought as a korban Osham, should pasture in the fields. It should graze until it develops a mum, a blemish. And once it develops a blemish, of course, it can't be brought as a korban. And at that point, they can now redeem it onto something else. For Yemocher, they should sell that animal, the Yipludom Lindova, and the money which they get from that animal goes to the Nedova, which was a box in the Beis HaMikdosh where there would be a sort of tzedakah box. And that money was used to buy karbonas to be bought on the Mizbeach when there were no other karbonas being bought at that time. If there's a free moment on the Mizbeach, so they would bring other karbonas, so that this money would go towards there, since the animal was designated to the Beis HaMikdosh, at least its value has to go there. And the reason why we don't just bring the karbon is because a karbon has to be bought on behalf of someone. And here that someone is dead, so therefore we only give the money to the Beis HaMikdash.